Welcome to South Haven Business Beat. Business and community leaders talk with us to provide invaluable resources to aid the business community.
Hello, I'm Debbie King. I am the president and CEO of the South Haven Chamber of Commerce. And today I am blessed to have former Alderwoman Lorraine Cady and founder of House of Grace. And I also have Ms. Sarita Drake, our current executive director of the House of Grace, with me today. And we are going to talk a little bit about what was, what is, and the future of South Haven, I hope. Thank you, ladies, for joining me, for being here. Thank you, Ms. Lorraine. It's an honor. I appreciate you sharing your experience and your knowledge with us. I would love, as I was telling you before we got started, I would love for us just to talk a little bit about your background. And I do want to delve into what South Haven was like whenever you first decided to run for Alderwoman, and why you decided to run for office when you did. What was South Haven like back in the day, and what led you? You have to be a very strong woman to know that you want to sit at the table in a man's world at that day. But also, I know for what you've been through, I know a little bit of your background and your backstory, but and congratulations on being in the Hall of Fame for South Haven. I know Mayor Musselwhite granted you that, and you earned that. I know. You were saying that he said you were a legend, and I agree with him. You are. And as we all have a legacy, I'm hoping to help you just share yours. And so please tell us, if you will, a little bit about South Haven and what it was like whenever you decided to run for Alderwoman.
Well, I moved here to South Haven, to DeSoto County, in 1964, the pavement on Mill Branch stopped at the state line. Memphis had pavement. We had gravel on this end of Mill Branch. Airways was gravel at that time. There was a big sign out on Highway 51. It talked about the number of residents that were here at the time. It was 840. Three residents on that sign. The utility company was run by volunteers and volunteer fire department at that time. My husband and I, we had five children. Four were in school, and then 7 years later, we had our youngest daughter. And of course, we had to wait and start the school thing over, but we only had the elementary school at that time, South Haven Elementary School. The high school came later. Mm-hmm. We had to work really hard to get the county's attention to give us a high school here. And of course, they didn't have a lunchroom. So myself and some of the ladies made sandwiches and took them to the school for the children. And they paid probably what it cost us for the sandwiches, but it was fun. It was fun to do. You met a lot of people. The wonderful thing about South Haven back then that I remember is there was a place for everybody. If you wanted to volunteer or be involved, there was a place for you. People welcomed you. The sports program was run by the South Haven Boosters Club, all volunteers. We didn't have any paid coaches or referees or any of those things. As a matter of fact, we didn't even have Cherry Valley Ball Field at that time. Myself and four other people went down to the Board of Supervisors and begged and begged and begged till they gave us the swamp over there where the interceptor sewer emptied into it, and we turned it into a boys' ball field. The girls played up at Donnie Woods, which is behind the South Haven Elementary School, and we had a women's team, several women's team, and a girls' league going. And finally, the boys got so big, so large, that they didn't have room for the girls. We didn't have a field to play on. So we sat out for a year, the girls, without a ball field to play. And since I had three girls wanting to play ball, I had the idea that we would start another league. So what we did, we played on a practice field up on the South Haven Elementary School property. Mm-hmm. No fence. I used my husband's boat floats for bases. There was a backstop and a diamond, a batter's diamond there, because the boys had been practicing. So that's where we started the girls' softball, and it's gone on all these years and still very active.
Yes.
Matter of fact, the girls are now, for the last few years, have been getting baseball scholarships. Mm-hmm. It's grown so big. So I'm so thankful that we were able to start in a small way so the girls, so they could plan a future for the girls as
yes.
well. But
That's
from
amazing.
That time on, we only used that practice field 1 year, and the next year they gave us a ball field because there was so much support that we actually had a girls' softball league after.
Wow. And at that time, what was growth like for people that were moving into the area? I know South Haven wasn't incorporated until 1980. So what was the growth like, and how did you guys, was it county that you would function through for everything that you needed?
Yes, we okay. were governed by the Board of Supervisors mm-hmm. back in those days. And I believe Harvey Hamilton was the supervisor. Mm-hmm. At that time, and then Red Garner, and then Will Renfrow. And Will Renfrow was from the new group. Harvey Hamilton and Red Garner was over DeSoto County. But, you know, they worked with us as best they could. Most of the people from that moved to South Haven during those years had a Mississippi background. Our connection to Mississippi somehow. Mm-hmm. I was from Sumpah County, Mississippi, which is down in the Delta. I have a rural background. My okay. mother and father had a farm and a dairy barn, dairy business. A
Me
lot
too.
Of work. Lots of work.
My mom and dad had a farm. We didn't have a dairy business, but I got woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go feed chickens and pigs. Yeah. And
yeah, it was a lot of work. But anyway, we survived it.
Awesome.
And now that I think back, I think it was a wonderful environment, the community that I grew up in. A lot of my father and mother's relatives owned property there, too. So we had a background of large families getting together and visiting back and forth and things of that nature, which we don't seem to have anymore.
At the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, our mission has always been to bring more opportunities to our members and to our community. And this podcast is one of the many ways that we do just that. But we couldn't be able to do what we do without the support of our sponsor, Wisdom Integrators. They're the strategic tech partner that makes it possible for businesses to work smarter and not harder. Wisdom Integrators helps organizations harness that power of technology by designing tailored solutions for workflow, automation, process improvement, and digital transformation. For small businesses or large enterprises, they bridge the gap between the vision and the execution. Are you ready to scale up your efficiency and impact? Then you need to come and visit wisdomintegrators.com to schedule your consultation today.
Not as much as we used to, that's for sure. And I think it's more of, I don't know, I believe still that South Haven hasn't lost that small town feel as far as charm. We're still very relational. It has to do a lot with who you know, as far as being able just to not do business, but to make friends and to expand your community. And I love it here. You know, raising kids here has been great. Having those, even my 31-year-old son, some of the boys that he played football with, they got together with their kids and went to the zoo this past weekend. So that was fun. But let's fast forward a little bit, Miss Lorraine, if we can, and let's talk about South Haven being incorporated. I know the chamber was formed in 1969. We kind of helped, from what I understand, a little bit with having some businesses come into town. But let's talk about the incorporation of the city and what you remember of that, and then what led you to run for office.
Well, first we need to talk about defeating being annexed.
Okay.
First, Horn Lake tried to annex South Haven 3 times. We had to go to court and defeat that 3 times before we could incorporate.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wow. Well, a lot of people don't know that. Yeah. That was a long time ago. That was before the incorporation even. Mm-hmm. I was one of the leaders in the fight to defeat Horn Lake. I hate to use that word. It sounds so like a battle, you know, and it was. The first annexation case lasted 19 days.
Oh, wow.
Yes. We didn't have any attorneys. The one attorney that worked here was Ron Taylor. His office was on State Line Road, and he was the attorney for Horn Lake. So, bless Ron's heart, he was in a difficult position, you know. But we sat in court for 19 days, and I went to Oxford and hired an attorney, Gerald Gafford, and Freeland and Gafford was the name of the law firm. I forgot Freeland's first name, but anyway, we hired Gerald Gafford and Freeland, and they went to court with us, and I was out knocking on doors. Just give us $10. If everybody will give us $10, we can win this thing. We knew we could win it if we could get the attorneys and get people to testify. We didn't have a lot of experts back in those days that could testify. But we won the case, the first case, which was the biggest one, and Horn Lake appealed it. And we won it in the state Supreme Court. And then they tried 2 other times. We had the Hungry Fisherman. I don't know who will remember that, but the Hungry Fisherman had a beer license, I think. They could sell liquor there. Mm-hmm. And I think Horn Lake really wanted that piece of property. But anyway, they sold. They lost that case too. My husband was on the South Haven Utility Company at the time, appointed by the Board of Supervisors, and they ran the fire department and the utility company. So he had to testify in that particular case. But anyway, we won that one and moved on to the last one. I don't remember a lot of details about the last one, but Hungry Fisherman eventually sold that property to Baptist Hospital, mm-hmm. and that's where Baptist is now. So that was one of the really big changes mm-hmm. in South Haven, because we had to always go to Memphis to go to the hospital. My youngest daughter, Robin, was born at Methodist in Methodist downtown in mm-hmm. Memphis. So things have changed considerably. Now Memphis comes to South Haven to go to the doctors and to the hospital. We have been so fortunate to have such good doctors in this area.
Yes. And just from last week, our community advisory board meeting, being able just to see the goals set for excellence for that healthcare facility is amazing. So, yes, we are blessed to be able to have, and I have seen just in my time being here, specific doctors that you used to have to drive twice as far to find are now in South Haven.
East Memphis to go to the heart group that's
yes.
here now.
Yes.
Their office was way out east, and but now they're right here. They have, I think, 2 offices here now. Mm-hmm. The Stern group.
Stern Cardiovascular. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Memphis Lung is now here. My husband has Yeah, he has asthma, so he sees a pulmonologist. But it's great that a lot of them have expanded and do now recognize and see healthcare and the quality we have in South Haven. I love that.
One thing about Baptist Hospital is it stuck to its plan. They had a plan when they moved here, a gradual expansion, and they've never stopped expanding and improving the hospital. When they first came, very few people went there because they didn't have a lot of doctors or different things, but they've stuck to their plan and have grown and grown and grown. They always have something in plan that they're working on to improve the facility and to improve the quality of health care. And I've always appreciated that. I had my heart surgery there.
Yes, ma'am.
And my broken knee there.
Yes, I appreciate that they have still continued to maintain the excellence and bring new doctors in. So, Miss Lorraine, you've been like the first lady of South Haven all along. It only made sense for you to be an alderwoman because it sounds like you've led the charge for a lot of things to have changes and to be formed for South Haven to be the great city that it is. And I want to thank you for that. Thank you for all that you've done for us. I would love to talk with you, though, a bit about your tenure as alderwoman and why you felt led to continue leading that charge for so many years. I guess having that investment in South Haven, it only made sense for you to make history and be the first alderwoman of South Haven.
Well, actually, I wasn't the...
You weren't?
No.
Okay.
When they incorporated and had elections, I wasn't ready at that time to run. I had a lot of things going on. I was very active in the school. I was active in my church. And I had 5 children and an only husband. An only husband means he was an only child. He just slid right into being an only husband. Don't laugh. he needed a lot of attention. So, and he was on the South Haven Utility Board, and he was president of some things at work, and he had some things that he had to take care of, and the timing was not good for me to run, although the group that was supporting the elected officials did ask me to run, but I just wasn't ready. And so the first board served 9 months, and they had an election, and they were elected for 4 years. And then the committee came back to me and asked me, so I ran that time. And for 20 years, I was the only woman on the board. But before that, we had had the Westbrook, Shirley Westbrook, Pat Hensley is who I defeated. Bless her heart, she hadn't gotten over it. She jumped on me 2 weeks ago at the doctor's office about it. Said all I did was play politics. So anyway, I've forgiven her. She's just hurt. And Lena Thatch served one term as well. And
Barbara, I had no idea. Okay.
And Barbara Cleveland served one term. So I was the only woman that served more than one term.
Awesome.
Yeah, I served 28 years in all.
Wow. That's amazing. And I assume, you know, still being an inspiration that you helped so many women, you probably paved the way for them to be able to serve just because of how you rolled up your sleeves to help, as women do with their children in schools and making a difference to make sure they can do extracurricular activities and that you have, you know, a great quality of life for them in the city that they're in, building that city. I'm sure was very exciting, but I'm sure it was very exhausting.
Well, at times, the same time. I've been blessed to always have a lot of energy until the last few years. My energy's not what I would like for it to be every day, but I'm still blessed that I can get out and do things, go shopping, go to church, go to lunch with friends, and things that most 88-year women don't do on a regular basis like I do. So if I want to go to some meeting, I do. My biggest hindrance, and this is not about me personally, is that I no longer drive. It's not that anybody told me not to drive. I just felt that I didn't want to hurt anybody should I make a mistake or have an accident. So I no longer drive. I have two vehicles. You know, explain that to me. But I no longer drive. I have a wonderful grandson that is so good about taking me anywhere I want to go.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's great.
I have six grandchildren. So.
What a legacy. That's awesome. That's a great legacy that you've left. In talking about legacy, even though it probably was not intentional all the time, but let's talk about some of the barriers that you broke for women now that are leading the way in decision making. At the time, because I know now still it's difficult sometimes for women to be able to get a seat at the table to help make decisions. What was that like when you were serving on the board?
Well, I was accepted by the mayors. I had good mayors. Joe Cates was my first mayor, and he served, I think Joe served 12 years maybe. And then I had Greg Davis, who grew up across the street from me. I knew, you know, Greg and my youngest daughter are maybe a year apart or something like that in age. So I was fortunate that I had two age groups of children to work with. I was very fortunate. We at the high school, I started the junior-senior prom at South Haven High School, the very first one back in 72, I think.
Wow.
And that's another thing that I am so thankful that is still available for children that want to go and participate. We had rules. They had to dress up. We didn't let, back in those days, the ragged blue jeans and the military clothes and all that was really popular. And some of the schools, that's what the kids wore to a prom. But I thought, if we're going to have a prom, we're going to have a prom. So we hired a band and had food and had a prom. And it's continued all these years. Even my youngest daughter went to the same with the same rules that we had back in the 70s when she graduated in the 80s.
That's awesome.
So it's important that people know that we only had one high school back then, too, which we had to fight like the devil to get. We had a good band. Our football team improved yearly, as did our basketball team. So I was thankful that all these things still continue today for the kids that want to participate. We have a great high school bands. The bands are always winning. The cheerleaders are always winning awards. And I believe in the top 20 schools in the state, five of them are in DeSoto County. So that not only speaks well of the cities, it speaks well for the county government we have here, too.
Yes, ma'am.
We don't want to overlook what they've contributed all these years. They've been very faithful to support South Haven. They had a hard time at first because people did not realize that we were like they were. We wanted a job. We wanted a family. We wanted opportunities for our family. And there was some resistance from the county and from the original settlers and the people that have a history of their families being here a long time. But my family's been in Mississippi a long time, too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we're thankful that time of resistance to the South Haven community has long passed, and we're all at the same table now.
I think that's wonderful.
At the South Haven Chamber of Commerce, our mission has always been to create more opportunities for our members and community to share their story. And this podcast is just one of many ways that we do just that. But we couldn't make it happen without Pure Focus Media, the creative team behind the scenes helping make us and a lot of local businesses to look and sound their best. Pure Focus Media is on a mission to make high-quality video and content creation accessible to businesses of all sizes. From strategy to production, they help tell your story, attract more leads, and grow through the power of video. If you're ready to level up your brand, you need to visit purefocus.media and schedule your strategy call today.
Let's talk a little bit about the original part of South Haven here. I know you mentioned Mr. Ron Taylor's attorney's office was here on State Line. And I know Mr. Barry Bushelon still has State Farm down there, and that John Grisham's attorney's office was in that building with him. I remember when we moved here in the 90s, I had family that worked at Kmart behind us here at the chamber. I graduated high school and worked at Kroger. It's still here. But I remember Walmart being here, and I remember State Line Road being just like Goodman Road, so crowded and full of folks in the 90s that were here shopping. That might live across the state line. I don't think that's changed a whole lot. We still have people that shop from all around. But the excitement of being able to redevelop, or, you know, everything's cyclical. So you have movement to the east of the city or to the south of the city, and you have new shiny things. You have new high schools and new developments, which are wonderful and they're great for our economy. But you still have a lot of people that have either been in the original South Haven, or you have people that are vested into original South Haven, like us here at the chamber. We're sitting in what was Gateway Bank to begin with, and then became Trustmark Bank before the chamber got it. So, Ms. Lorraine, what do you see for this area, or what do you feel like this area could contribute to South Haven?
Well, one thing we really need to concentrate on is the laws, the ordinances that says you mow your grass. Mm-hmm. That you keep your property, especially the rental properties. Most rental people are really good because they have a huge investment in the rental property, but some of them are not as vigilant as others, shall we say, about their investments. Mm-hmm. And there has been a big turnover in rental property in this area, mm-hmm. along here on the west side, mm-hmm. as well as on the section that I lived in. Like I said, I lived on Yorktown Drive. Greg lived on the corner, his family, and I lived catty cornered across from Greg. And all the first board that I served on, we were still new. We were 9 months and 4 years old when I was elected on the board of aldermen. And of course, we had Harold Moore, and you should talk to Harold. He's lived out here probably as long as I have. And he has a lot of history, and his wife keeps everything.
Oh, wow.
I mean, everything. So okay. She probably can tell you more than Harold. And she was involved in a lot of other things. Her name is Betty Moore. Last time I talked to them, they still live over on the west side.
Okay.
in the original house that they bought. But anyway, where were we trying to get with this?
I'll have to visit with them. We were talking just about the original part of South Haven and the excitement of being able to maybe revitalize that some.
We need to support the businesses on this side of the highway, on State Line Road. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to pass up Walmart. I'm not a Walmart shopper. I probably don't go there two times a year, and I usually go with someone else, but I'm not a big Walmart shopper. But we need to support the businesses on this side of the highway and make sure that they're kept up and attractive, which I've noticed the big improvement in State Line Road out here with the businesses being repainted and the parking lots being repaved and maybe some plants being put out. Everything, it just takes a little. I know it's expensive. Everything's expensive nowadays. Mm-hmm. And it's very expensive to upkeep property nowadays, especially in the old section. You know, my house was 3 years old when I moved in 1964, so it's got a few years on it. Yeah. But it was a nice house. It was had four bedrooms and three baths and all the other rooms. But it takes a lot to keep up a house that size. Yeah. Matter of fact, that's why I sold it. I was by myself. And I just didn't have the energy or the time to keep it up. I had to put on a new roof.
Yeah.
I had to put in a new furnace. What else did I have? Two new floors and something else. And then I said, I can't keep doing this. So I sold the house. And I still miss it today. But people that live in this area have to commit to either sell the house and let someone else take it over and keep it up, or they have to stay there and keep it up themselves. Right. Mm-hmm. The turnover for rental property is unbelievable in this area and on the west side as well. I think maybe they have a bigger problem over there than we do. Mm-hmm. But I see that the city has really made an effort to encourage the businesses along here. It's evidence mm-hmm. that they've been encouraged to paint and fix up property in this older section of town. And that's the only thing that's going to keep it from continuing on the downward spiral.
I agree.
You just don't want that because most of the history is here.
Yes.
And was created by the people from this section of town.
Yes, ma'am.
If you stop and think about it, that's where most of the ideas and the government came from that made South Haven what it is. They served on the Alderman, Board of Aldermen. They served on the Chamber. They served on the Planning Commissions and in the Boosters Club and on the Utility Boards to make South Haven what it is. So those people have a big investment, but most of them are like me. I'm 88 years old. I've been here since 64. Mm-hmm. So my influence is gone as far as coming up with new ordinances and things to keep South Haven going. One thing that hurt South Haven in the beginning, there were a few people on the first board and my board that did not want growth. Mm. They did not want growth. They did not want commercial growth. I'm sorry, they didn't mind the rooftop growth, but they didn't want commercial growth because they felt like it would change. Mm-hmm. It took a long time to change that mindset because there were some very strong people on that first board. Mm-hmm. Very strong in the community, very strong in the churches. And don't overlook the influence the churches have had on this community.
Right.
It's been very positive. And they, in years past, in my youth, churches didn't get too involved in anything. But we kept a liquor out of DeSoto County for a long time. I was on the group that kept gambling out of DeSoto County. That was a hard and expensive fight. Mm. We had to defeat it three times. We only had our money. They had new money every time they tried to bring a new casino in. But all of that has settled down, too. The casinos aren't as popular as they were at one time. Matter of fact, Sam's Town's just closed, and it's going to be torn down. And there's several others that have closed since then. But it was a hard, expensive fight, but we did it. And that was mostly the older section, not the new people that did that. I forgot what years that was, but
you have been a trailblazer, and you are an inspiration for so many women, me being one of them, just since I've been here at the Chamber watching you as alderwoman and founder of House of Grace. And I appreciate so much all of the work that you've done here in South Haven.
Thank you for listening to this episode of South Haven Business Beat. Would you like to be a sponsor of South Haven Business Beat? Please email us, info@southhavenchamber.com. Be sure to share and subscribe for more business resources.